Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 6 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Well, Kevin's back from his weekend of eclipse partying. Rob is here. My name is Casey Daniels. I'm here too. We all survived the eclipse. We're all back together, and I can't wait to get your impressions of the event later on in the show.
Well, God's full amazingness and beauty was on display not once but twice yesterday, Casey. The eclipse, and then, of course, Purdue getting their
later
ass handed
in the
to
night.
Them.
Oh, no.
So which one would you like to start with? I mean, God is good, and
yeah.
God had his hands all over our earth yesterday, so you pick which one you want to go with first.
Well, I noticed that you did post a picture of yourself wearing the eclipse glasses. You had been kind of poo-pooing the event leading up to it. You seem to have experienced it. I'm sure you at least stepped outside to look up. And did it change your feelings on the event?
Oh, there's no doubt it was utterly amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see, and I'm sure it was, I mean, look, you were probably on the top of that high rise you live in. They're on the west side of the city. But for those of us peasants down on the ground,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of standing around watching it,
mm-hmm.
and you're going up until probably, I don't know, 10 minutes beforehand, you're going, nothing's happening. This kind of seems like a total letdown. And then as you get closer to the actual moment of the thing, you put your glasses on. I mean, you can see something's happening.
Yeah.
But then within that final probably 2 to 3 minutes where this thing closes in, and
yeah.
then for the world to go utterly dark.
Yeah.
It's just an absolutely incredible thing.
I think the thing that struck me, no, I was not on top of a high-rise building. I was in a park near where I live. And
came down with the peasants, huh?
It was really nice because I was able to experience it with my family, which I think was the really cool part of it. But I noticed the temperature dropped. The lights in the neighborhood went on, and you could hear the birds chirping, and it sounded like nighttime. It felt like nighttime, and it was just spectacular. And the one thing that I kept thinking was how lucky I was to be experiencing it with the people that I love. But it also made me think of my dad in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, and what that view might have looked
oh,
like.
Oh, my goodness. It was absolutely incredible. And, you know, I was talking with my dad yesterday and when that was going on. I said, how any person could see this and doubt there is a God. Like,
yeah.
He just thinks this all just accidentally all came together and happened. I mean, it's just unbelievable that people can see that stuff. And there are a large portion of society, unfortunately, who do walk through their daily existence as non-believers, but that's their right. I question how anybody could see that and think, oh yeah, this all just sort of accidentally all came. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was an incredible display. It was, no pun intended, Indianapolis's kind of moment in the sun.
Yeah.
When you think about the amount of people who congregated in central Indiana to see this, by all accounts, estimations of calamity and madness did not come to reality, and everybody kind of got out in one piece, it appears. And that's the kind of the best thing about all of this is that it, you know, society continued to function, and thankfully everything moved forward, and this incredible event happened here in our city.
Yeah, it was really neat. With the exception of the traffic that was on I-65, because that was just, blocked up. But
yeah, but they had made the governor, because of course, Governor Disingenuous signs this little emergency proclamation and then, you know, sprints to the nearest flight to Arizona so he can just leave a wake of destruction in his path and go watch a basketball game,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like when he was governor during COVID and he finger wagged about all those executive orders and then went down to that cabin in southern Indiana and took the maskless photo with the strangers. I mean, that's what he does. He makes life difficult for everybody else and then goes and lives a life of luxury. But he signs this order and you're worried, like, oh my gosh, are people going to be stopping on 65 or on 70? Are cars going to be turned sideways? Are people going to be, you know, are fires going to be breaking out in the streets? Well, of course, none of that happened. none of that happened, and everybody just went about their business, and it was a very orderly and productive day, and then this incredible natural wonder takes place.
Mm-hmm. And it was quite the event over at the Speedway. They had 32, 33 nations represented. Someone from every state was there at the Speedway, and a neat event. Indianapolis sure knows how to host an eclipse. We should do it every year.
Holcomb does have a weird ability to make false doomsday proclamations, right? Like, I mean, remember during COVID, everyone was going to die and trust the science, and none of that happened. And now he did. He did the same thing here. Like, what did they think was going to? I would love for somebody. I mean, now this would take a random, confused, accidental act of journalism to break out. We can't even get anybody in Indianapolis media to ask Holcomb about his best friend Jamie Knoll, the former sheriff of Clark County. What is it, 25 felonies that he's facing down there? We can't even get somebody to ask him a question about that or whatever that number is. Is it 25 now? I think that was the number. We can't even get somebody to ask him about Jamie Knoll. But maybe if somebody were to get a wild hair up their backside and ask Holcomb, what did you think was going to happen? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Because none of it happened. Like, all of the doomsday scenario, and everybody just behaved themselves. And it really did stoke a lot of unnecessary fear and panic, just like this a-hole did during COVID.
Yep.
Where all the, oh no, you got to stay indoors, you've got to lock the vault and hide in the basement, and like, no, everybody would have been fine. They could have gone out, they could have been productive. The same thing yesterday. I think they sucked a lot of joy out of this for people by instilling fear in them, because they were worried because of this stupid emergency proclamation that there was going to be mass calamity in the streets.
That something was going to happen. Well, at my picnic clips, nothing happened.
Your what?
My picnic clips.
Oh, so you were having a family.
That's what we did. We spread out the blanket.
How exciting.
We had some food. We had the speaker going, played some music. And the dude, of course, just like you would on 4th of July with fireworks, he timed it out perfectly so that, you know, the music would play exactly with the eclipse.
You know, because he's Mr. Charisma. So he, of course, needed a backing vocal track. That totally seems like Jim.
So speaking of charisma, Kevin, you had a good time at your eclipse day off.
Did you make it till 3:06?
I did, actually. Yeah, I didn't really. I was kind of casually drinking. Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
I took the under. I took you. I had you passed out at 2:03. So failed.
Saturday was my party night. Yeah. But so, yesterday I watched it at a park near my apartment. There was like thousands of people there.
Oh, wow.
Everyone was cheering when we reached totality, so it was pretty cool.
Yep, and you did a little bit of partying on Saturday. Was that an eclipse party, or was that just your average Saturday?
It wasn't my average Saturday. I'd say we went extra hard.
They went extra hard.
Yeah.
Donnie Burgess from WIBC posted some really, really cool pictures of the eclipse as it, you know, went over Monument Circle, the before, the during, and the after.
Now, did the rest of your day, was the rest of your day like were you kind of disoriented on what time it was? I totally was, because I realized it was only dark for about 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, you felt like you had two sunrises.
I felt like, it was like, why is the sun up again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that sounds stupid, but the rest of the day, it's like, this day is taking forever, because in my mind, it had become
nighttime.
Even though it's night for a very brief period. And I realize people are hearing that. Apparently I must be the only one that did that, because you're looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
No, I didn't have a problem. It was just a long wait between when the sun came back up and when the Purdue game started again.
Yeah, boy.
And can we like not have the championship game start at 9:15, 9:30, whenever that was? That's like a little past my bedtime.
Well, it is interesting. One, that they have it on cable television.
Because,
you know, for years growing up, it was always CBS, which makes sense. It's the national championship basketball game. And for some reason, they chose to have it on TBS, which is super weird. And you're right, Casey. The 9:20 start, like, what's with the 20? Like, what, 9:05 was already taken?
Right.
Nine was full.
TBS, gotta get those sponsors in.
TBS had special programming that ran till what, 9:19? Like, what were we doing?
Well, I'm sure that they were trying to be, inclusive with all the West Coast watchers. But again, when you've got UConn and Purdue, it just, whatever, start the game at 7.
All right, let's let's take a break because okay. something happened last night before the game even got started that proved everything, Casey. And you know it.
I know what you're going to bring up.
Everything I've been saying this whole week, and I took a victory. Look, we all knew what was going to happen in that game, and it did happen, and Purdue kept it close for a while, and then the second half came, and everything we said was going to happen happened. But something happened before that game last night that proved everything I've been saying for the past week, and I could not have been, it was not a more joyous, that happening was probably more joyous for me than the time the final buzzer sounded and Purdue lost the game. Can we talk about that when we come back?
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Tired from staying up late watching that basketball game last night?
No, I'm good.
Central Indiana on a little bit of a basketball hangover.
I knew it was over and I fell asleep with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of where it was 5 minutes to go and I was thinking, why can't Matt Painter put Caitlin Clark in the game? When I was kind of like, okay, I don't think they're going to recover from this. And I started to make my way towards the bed.
So of course Purdue got beat last night. Mm-hmm. And look, we talked about this yesterday, that Purdue had a phenomenal team. Purdue was probably the second best team in the country. There was just such a wide gap between between UConn and everybody else. Any other year, Purdue might have been legitimately the national champion. I mean, they were that good. But UConn was so good. And I have a buddy who's a high school basketball coach and has coached for years who told me during the game, it was, UConn, it was either tied or UConn had a 2-point lead or something like that. And I was texting him. I said, man, Purdue's really hanging with them. And he said, game's over.
It's not going to last.
He said, UConn is going to blow them out in the second half. And I said, they're hanging right with them. He goes, you don't understand. He said, people who know what they're looking for. He said, Edie looks slow. He looks tired. He looks gassed. He said, they're going to just extend this and it will happen throughout the course of the game. And I'll be darned if it didn't. I mean, it's just nothing against Purdue. Purdue would have had to play a perfect game to beat UConn, and obviously those guards didn't, and
they had a hard time on the perimeter for sure. And I think part of the reason that Zach Edey got maybe a little bit more tired was Donovan Clingan. I mean, he was right there with him the whole time, and Zach Edey, I felt like, was used to being able to kind of shoot around somebody, and Donovan Clingan had the height just like Edey did, and so they were more of an even matchup than I think Zach Edey was used to.
And two things. Not only did he have the height, he's good. He's like really good.
Right.
He extends the floor. He was shooting threes. He, can make jumpers. He forced Edey to play defense. And then they brought that other guy in. I mean, UConn had not one but two goon guys who, the whole game, are competent players. Didn't face that all year long, where there's two highly competent guys who can also score.
Mm-hmm.
And again, nothing against Purdue. Nobody was beating UConn in this tournament. I cashed my bet out. UConn wins the whole thing. Good on me, la, la, la. But I did, because of course the drama on this show this week was, and again, the overwhelming majority of our Purdue fans had some fun with it, and they get it, and they know if the roles were reversed, they'd be the same way, which, as I said, I'm not rooting for Purdue. I don't care what state they're from. They're the rival of the school I have a diploma from on my wall. Mm-hmm. I grew up loving IU basketball. I would sooner pluck my own eye out than say that I hope Purdue wins a national championship. And again, the majority of Purdue fans are like, yeah, we get that, because we'd be the exact same way. But bizarrely, Casey, there was like a group of people who concocted this bizarro fantasy lie where it was like, I can't believe you're not doing this. I would totally root for IU if IU were in the national championship. Mm-hmm. I would just be on the edge of my seat cheerleading and pom-pom waving. And I said, bull crap. I said, I've never, ever heard a Purdue fan say anything nice about IU fans. In fact, Purdue people have been some of the meanest people in the entire world when it comes to IU. And I'm not mad about it, Casey. Mm-hmm. You know why I'm not mad about it? Because it's a rivalry.
You like the good guys and the bad guys
in
sports.
I expect it. Yeah. I expect that Purdue is going to hate IU mm-hmm. and IU is going to hate Purdue. And that's why rivalries are fun. Mm-hmm. You do not cheer for your sworn rival. But bizarrely, there were people who not only were attempting to spin this yarn mm-hmm. that they were outraged that someone could possibly, who is an IU fan, not cheer for Purdue. They tried to act like, oh yeah, there's Purdue people everywhere who would totally be cheering for IU. We were just shooting off rockets and confetti in 87 when Smart hit the shot. And I said, you people are full of it. And last night, Casey,
yeah.
before the game had even begun,
yeah.
there was a live shot from Mackey Arena, which, of course, they opened up Mackey Arena yep. and all the people were there cheering. And instead of, this is their moment of glory, Casey. This is Purdue's moment of glory. This is the thing you've waited 54, 55 years for, to be back in the national championship game.
Yeah.
40 plus years to even be in the Final Four. And in their moment of glory, what are they doing? Cheering for their team? No. What are they doing? They're obsessing over how much they hate IU.
And they're doing it synchronized. It sounds so
good.
What
a scorned, jilted lover those people are. What a little brother syndrome those people have. In your moment of glory, mm-hmm. the thing you profess, oh, I can't believe he's saying this. We've waited all these years, and he won't let us have any happiness. They're not even focused on the game in front of them. Those fans are focused on obsessing and hating IU. Well, the prosecution rests, Your Honor.
No,
we hope that you not only convict the defendant, but send him to the electric chair.
You're
guilty
missing
as
the
charged.
Point. No, you're missing the point. See, that's the rally cry. For Boilermakers. That's how they get themselves excited,
uh-huh.
is they say something that they can all agree on, no matter what the outcome is uh-huh. of the UConn-Purdue game. That is something that they know to be true.
Casey, are you getting dizzy from all this spinning?
It's their cheer, man. It's what they do as Boilermakers.
We're going to put a little bow on this thing right here, because here's the deal.
Yeah.
Purdue had a fine season.
They did. They had a great season. They made it to the championship game.
Yes. The whole season was built on the back of a guy who committed multiple acts of homicide on
you
the
mean
basketball
37
floor.
37 points and 10 rebounds,
game.
All-time leading scorer.
Nancy Kerrigan would have been proud of how well he does on skates out there. And they had a fine season. However,
yeah.
Purdue fans do not like IU. And IU do not like Purdue. And that's okay. That's what a rivalry is all about. And for all you people who, I would totally cheer for IU if the roles were reversed. Well, there's your cohorts of compadres. And in their moment of glory, they weren't focused on their own team. They were focused on hating IU.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning. Memorized yesterday by the total solar eclipse, when the moon lined up perfectly with the sun, blocking out all of the light. And I'm sure you saw the Bailey's beads and the diamond and the ring and the solar circle, all of those technical things. I just thought it was really cool. At one point, there was a plane that flew over. It was before the eclipse, and my daughter said to me, I wonder what it would be like to be on a plane during the eclipse. And actually, many people were. And one guy posted a video up of that happening. He was a passenger on a plane. It got 14.8 million views.
That'd be creepy, wouldn't it?
Well, it happens a lot quicker than it does here on the ground, because obviously you're on a plane, which is traveling very fast.
Right.
So it probably wouldn't be quite the same experience, but just a different view.
So were those solar flares that were the little orange dots that mm-hmm. you appeared to be able to be seeing kind of outside the in the outside ring of what was still being exposed? Is that what those were?
I think so.
I mean, I don't know if someone was up there with Man in the Moon was having laser tag, game of laser tag or what. that was kind of interesting too. It is, I mean, again, and I know we said this to begin the show, but there are the Lord's work and wonders are always on full display. And sometimes I think about the things like this happen, and it's just in many ways God's not so subtle reminder of, you aren't in control of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I make this happen. And it, just a reminder of our little place in all of this.
Yeah.
And what we're actually supposed to be doing while we're here.
It does kind of make you check your ego, doesn't it?
Right.
Like, and or you're thinking of all the little things that, you know, stress you out throughout the day. And then when something like that happens and you realize just how small and inconsequential your daily stresses really are in the big picture.
So two things that we were laughing about. One is how amazing it is they can get it to this basically down to the second when this thing's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's utterly incredible that they now are so advanced with this stuff that they can predict, you know, when it's going to happen. And two, think about how awestruck we were knowing everything that's, hey, here's what's happening. You know, the moon is in front of the sun and, you know, here's what's going to happen. And down to the second, it's going to be 3 minutes of this and then it's going to pass through it. So you knew and we were still awestruck by it. And we've been talking about it this morning. Think about 400 years ago, what people were going through when this would happen
mm-hmm.
without access to obviously any sort of, you know, free flow of information. Many places didn't even have the printing press, you know, or access to newspapers, much less, you know, radio or television or certainly the internet. And many people weren't even those who had access to information weren't educated. Many people weren't. So many people had no idea what it would have been taking place. And can you imagine in those times?
That probably would have been scary.
Oh, my gosh. It totally would have been scary.
Yeah.
Beyond belief.
What's going on? This is one of those events that we've been hearing about it now for 2 years. And as Tony Katz said this morning, lived up to the hype.
You did.
And I agree with that.
Now, that being said, would I have traveled 3,000 miles like to see this? No, probably not.
I was wondering about that because, you know, we talked about the person from Peoria yesterday
right.
who was calling the golf course to see if there was a right. place to park and hang out there. After having experienced it, yeah, I'd go a couple hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, but that's different than, I mean, there were people who were traveling all over the country, from all over the country. There were people who were traveling from all over the world to
mm-hmm.
be at this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a magnificent thing, but I'm not sure I would have, you know, look, I just don't think I would have gone to some of the effort some people did, but hey, good on them if that's your hobby and that's what you want to do. And everybody was very responsible and made it out in one piece. And just a perfect day for Central Indiana.
How lucky we were that we were in the path of totality, because I saw a lot of pictures on social media from friends who were in partial, you know, eclipse, who didn't get the totality. And they seemed almost a little bit jealous.
Well, you would be. I mean, you know.
You know? Well, that was kind of cool. No, it was really cool.
It was interesting how crowded downtown was leaving at about noon.
Mm-hmm.
How obviously people were already preparing. You live in a gated community and, you know, you don't have to interact with anyone you don't want to have to interact with. But for those of us who do live kind of normal middle class existences, mm-hmm. I was amazed that even in Brownsburg, trying to get food at lunch, the rather large increase in people that were in, you could tell, the restaurants, and kind of kudos to all those people who had to work yesterday because they were all appeared to be doing a great job and working very hard. But I mean, it was like, wow, even in the suburbs, you know, you can tell there's just a huge influx of people that are coming in looking for places to view this thing.
I wonder how much productivity was lost throughout the country yesterday, because, you know, there were, well, obviously the schools were closed in many areas, but businesses, you know, work from home, which is kind of sometimes the sign of we're not expecting 100% of you. And you know that throughout the day, even if you were working, you took 5 minutes to go outside.
Don't you love the fact that our company let everybody but us work from home? They sent out an email. I had asked, well, wait a second. If Governor Disingenuous is going to declare this emergency, by the way, is there anything more pathetic than a guy who makes an emergency declaration? Look, something so serious is happening that it means there must be an emergency declaration. But I'm going to get on a flight mm-hmm. and go all the way.
And leave the state.
Leave the state and go all the way across the country for a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, could anybody in the media ask the governor, why, during an emergency declaration, he left the state again, which, again, he had a track record of doing time and time and time again during COVID. How many times did he leave the state or the country on these, air quote, business trips, right? But we were under emergency declaration, and yet he was out of here. So Governor Phoney, who issues this emergency declaration, then gets on a plane and goes to a basketball game. That's how serious he took it. But kudos to all the people who just made society work. There's a famous episode of The Office where, for some reason, I can't remember exactly why, but there's no manager. And Jim is talking about how the people did without Michael Scott, the manager, being, or Andy, or whoever was the manager, then being there. And he goes, turns out, if you just have good people
and let them do their job,
yeah, they'll just work out of pride and a sense of obligation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how society is without the government. We don't need you. Like, generally, the overwhelming amount of Americans have such pride in themselves and in their communities and in their country that if you just leave them alone, they'll figure it out. And yesterday was a great example of that. What good did that emergency declaration do other than get a bunch of people totally petrified? Nothing.
I think maybe Eric Holcomb had confidence in everyone, and that's why he decided.
Then why was there an emergency declaration?
He was going to go.
I'll ask the same question I asked during COVID. If there is such a need for an emergency, then why are you? Remember, he was on a camel somewhere at one point. He was in the, you know, Egypt or Saudi Arabia or wherever he was. Too bad he didn't get left over there. But, you know, if it's such an emergency that you have to make a declaration, a proclamation, and get your big stupid mug on television
to
again,
make sure everyone was prepared.
Why are you at a basketball game? Sort of seems like an abdication of responsibility to me, Casey.
Well, Captain Kirk, William Shatner, he was in Bloomington, Indiana, watching the total eclipse, and he said that the event was overwhelming.
There were a large group of miracles that happened, and you can only ascribe it to miracles. It rained. I'm in Bloomington, Indiana, and it rained here this morning. The forecast is rain tonight. Perfectly blue skies, crystal clear, not even the high cirrus clouds. And wearing the dark glasses, I watched the sun being obliterated by the moon until it was just a rim, a engagement ring of the universe happened in front of my eyes. It's overwhelming. It brings to mind the whole world looking up into space and wishing over that ring of fire for goodness and success to our world, both the individual people and the fact that we will care for our world even more assiduously than we have been in the past.
He said he watched the sun being obliterated by the moon until it was just a rim. Now, if you missed it, there is another chance coming up on August 12th of 2045. There's going to be another total solar eclipse. It will occur in the United States. It's mostly going to be on the southern part of the country. It's going to go from California and cross downwards through Florida.
William Shatner sounds amazing for 113 years old. Doesn't he?
How old
is he? I mean, he's in his 90s, isn't he?
Yeah, he did sound really good, didn't he?
He looks, and now I'm sure he's got some, you know, boot black in his hair or whatever, but he looks amazing and sounds amazing for a guy his age.
If you were in B-Town, would you be like, I just watched the eclipse with William Shatner? That would be amazing.
You remember he got on that death tube that Bezos sent up to into space,
the blue rocket,
whatever that was. Yeah. I mean, good on him, man.
Mm-hmm. He's still into it. Of course, the hosts on The View were saying that the solar eclipse was caused by climate change, and how wrong could they be about that? Ridiculous. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Talking a lot about the total solar eclipse that happened yesterday as everybody stopped, hopefully, and were able to participate in that spectacular cosmic event. One place that stopped was Augusta National Golf Club. They were in their first round of practice, and it came to a standstill. All the players, the caddies, and the patrons all stopped, put on their glasses, and, of course, turned their gazes skyward like the rest of us. And
did you see those glasses? They had some really cool Masters Eclipse glasses.
Of course they did. They were like $100 glasses,
oh, they
right,
were awesome.
For the eclipse.
They looked awesome.
And how is it that you can go to the sunglass store and they're like, oh, you're going to go to the beach? You need these really UV protective glasses. These are $200. But yet you can get a $3 cardboard glass to watch a total solar eclipse.
Yeah, it is rather amazing, isn't it? So the Masters was first practice round of the Masters was yesterday. Again, just full disclosure and a reminder to everybody on the show. Casey virtually on her own on Thursday and Friday. I will be here in the physical form.
Yeah.
And look, we made a calculated decision that 25% of me is better than 100% of anybody else.
Yeah.
But this has been the deal for the I think this is year number 8 for me at this radio station. They knew the deal when they hired me, and this is the deal now. The four majors, I'm just winging it.
You're physically
I'm
here.
Just, I mean, I'm here. That's in the, it. I'm here in the, I will be on time. I will.
Is that actually in your contract? Is this a bad time to let you know I'm taking Thursday and Friday off?
I want to say Mock did that one year, and it was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Thursday and Friday, you're going to really just have to kind of spearhead this operation.
Don't I do that every
well
day?
That's a good point. Yes.
Okay, so there was this quote that I wanted to share with you, and how do you say his name? Will Zalatoris.
Yes, Zalatoris. Yes.
Okay, he said that
he is for people who don't know, you've probably seen him on the internet. He's a very good professional golfer. He is the guy who looks like the caddy on Happy Gilmore. So if you've ever seen the movie Happy Gilmore, there's all these memes of Will Zalatoris. He looks almost identical to the guy who is the was the caddy on Happy Gilmore.
Well, he said that this is the best he's ever seen Tiger Woods play. You think he's just fanboying?
Oh, bull. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, Tiger Woods, as we talked about it before, so he's going to play the Masters this year. He's going to try to play the Masters. Physically looks fine. Like, I mean, you obviously never see his leg. I'm sure that's pretty gruesome. But physically, he's in tremendous shape, especially for a guy who's 48 years old. The issue is not his ability to be in physical shape. That is not, I mean, he's super jacked. He still, you know, can crush 330-yard drive. That is not the question. The ability is the dude cannot walk 72 holes of golf because he has an iron leg. Yeah, that might prevent you from walking, especially one of the hilliest, lopsided golf courses in existence. The guy cannot walk 72 holes of golf. And so, Will Zalatoris, I think, is in his mid-20s. Totally, he's thinking with his heart, not with his head. Of course, Tiger Woods still physically looks good. Of course, he can still drive the ball a long way, but he can't putt anymore, and he couldn't putt before he got injured, and now he has an iron leg.
Can you imagine a better place than the Masters Club to watch the eclipse? I mean, it's beautiful how meticulous they take care of that course.
Oh, yeah.
And as you mentioned, it's hilly. You know, the flowers are blooming, spectacularly green everywhere you look, expensive eclipse glasses, and when you're done, just go back to playing on this beautiful course.
Absolutely. It's the most magnificent week of the entire year, Casey. And it's a whole week of pageantry and display, and the Thursday is the par 3 competition, and it's like every shot is, you can, the thing about the Masters is, unlike any other golf tournament, that every shot can be traced to some other event in history. Like, you can always compare things that are happening at the Masters to things that happened 70 years ago, 80 years ago. The shots in history, they're known, like when the broadcast, when they will say, you know, the infamous double eagle at 15, like, you just know, you just know what they're referencing and what they're talking about, and the little theme song that they play as they go to commercial breaks. And it's just this wonderful little utopian existence for 4 days that that we get.
So Golf Digest has come out with the power rankings. They've got, what, 13 live players who are going to be playing this year?
Yeah. So what are these? These are the rankings for the Masters, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Scottie Scheffler's obviously number one.
And they put, there's 5 amateurs that are going to be playing in it this year?
Yes. Obviously, they always invite the the USA amateur champion, the US amateur runner up, I think it gets invited. I think the British amateur champion. And one of these dudes, these amateur guys, it used to be they'd shoot like 100 and it was like, oh, Fred's a freshman at you know, Alabama and he's studying medicine and he shot 103. Now, like, this amateur guy just won a tournament a couple of weeks ago. That's not out of the question. These young guys are so good now, Casey. It's totally not out of the realm they could compete for the Masters.
So, according to Golf Digest, Scottie Scheffler is not number one ranked. They've got John Rahm as number one. And
no
then
way.
Brooks Koepka.
These people are not watching golf.
You're not agreeing with that at all.
No, absolutely not. Scottie Scheffler's odds going into the Masters are 4-1, Casey. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
He's competing against 100 other people. And his odds are 4-1. That is Tiger in his prime level type of odds. That is nuts.
Hey, can we talk about Morgan Wallen for just a second? Country singer Morgan Wallen.
Do you find
Wallen?
Him attractive?
I love his music.
I didn't ask you that.
A little.
He seems like he'd be up your alley.
He, you know, I think because,
he's a little rough around the edges and looks like he needs a shower. He seems like he'd be right up your
alley. Because I like his music so much, that's what makes him attractive.
Right.
But his behavior sometimes is very questionable.
Yes, he of course had a little issue with, isn't he the guy who had a little issue with the profanity?
Yes, and his language and his neighbor taping him. I forgave him for that. And then he went and got a baby mama. I forgave him for that. And now he was just here in Indy last weekend. He launched a chair at cops from a rooftop bar.
This was in Tennessee, right?
It was in Nashville. Yes. And apparently he's very upset. He's never gotten over his ex, his baby mama.
Oh, get
even
real.
Even though he didn't really want to stay faithful to her.
Lots of
and
people.
She's off eloping. She's moved on. He couldn't handle it. Launched the chair. Now he's been charged with 3 counts of felony, reckless endangerment, and 1 count of misdemeanor. Or disorderly conduct. I mean, he made the big mistake that he launched the chair. He went full on Bob Knight with cops right down there.
Well, lots of people have trouble getting over their ex. They don't throw chairs off of 6-story buildings, which could potentially kill somebody. This guy comes off as a total entitled elitist who learned nothing from the last time. He got very, very lucky that he didn't totally get canceled and his career ended. You would think you'd be on your absolute best behavior. He clearly learned absolutely nothing. And here he is acting like an entitled jerk. And I'm sure there were, I'm not sure. It would not surprise me if there was something that was enabling his behavior at the moment in question.
Yeah, he needs to surround himself with people who can help him. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.